Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Metallica Report. I'm Stefan Shirazi, editor of the band So What magazine.
And I'm Renee Richardson, director of philanthropy for Metallica's foundation, All Within My Hands. This is your official weekly Metallica podcast, the only inside source, bringing you all the news from the band's HQ and studios deep in the heart of Northern California. Steph, I gotta say, I am a little jealous of what you're bringing to the pod this week because you got to hang out with Infectious Grooves and Rob Trujillo for a show day, which is super cool. Plus, you spent time with Bastardane. How cool is that?
Yeah. Well, as you can tell, I think my voice is maybe an octave lower. Sexy. Because I'm kind of tired. Ow. Because it was a big night out, that's for sure. No, it was. It was a massive night. And we're going to get into all the Infectious stuff. I had a great chat with Rob about the project, the band, what he's been doing, all of it. We're also going to get into Bastardane in a future pod, not too distant future, I would say, because chatted with those guys, they're great. They really are. They have a new album coming out soon, which they'll be talking about at that time. And yeah, I got to tell you, what a mesmerizing live band they really are. And more on that in a future pod as well. And as for what you said at the start, be jealous, not for much longer, because we're going to be in Munich together, right, for the kickoff of M72 2024. So you will be in the middle of all sorts, I guarantee.
I can't wait. We're going to have a ton of fun together. So before we dive in, we've got some good stuff this week from our friends on Spotify. We asked them if you could travel back in time and attend one of Metallica's legendary live performances, which show would you choose? And Paletto says, I've seen Rob's Metallica tens of times. I've seen Jason's Metallica once, but I would give everything to go back and see Cliff's Metallica. Any show with Cliff is what Paletto says. And I think he speaks for a lot of us. Steph, you've seen Metallica with Cliff. Any favorite show with Cliff?
Yeah, I did. I could pick a few shows, but the one I'm going to go for is the Lyceum in 1984, the London Lyceum, that is. It was the Ride the Lightning tour, and they were just young and raging, and Cliff was young and raging. So it was a super dynamic and really, really, you know, it's everything that I think Paletto would want to see.
That's awesome. All right, back to our Spotifyers. We have a bunch of folks who have the same show in mind. Bentley Armstrong, Russell, Bertley 83, Craig Angelo Reyes, Diego Huerta, and Soph all mentioned Seattle 89 as a favorite show. Now, I saw that same tour on the East Coast. So, Steph, remind us, what was so special about Seattle?
I mean, I think, first of all, by proxy of the fact it was on Live Ship, Binge and Purge, and therefore would have been, you know, one of the first things that Metallica fans got to see outside a live setting, you know, on their own telly, if you will. Glorious days of VHS. Look that up, folks. You know, I think that catapulted into a very, very prominent position for most fans. But look, they're absolutely right. That tour was just incendiary in so many different ways. I mean, they're on fire as young men. They're processing grief as young men as well. Jason is absolutely throwing down with every ounce he's got to show why he's there and delivering in spades, I may point out, and nearly getting knocked out by the truss every night and the swinging truss, the justice truss. And so that combination of energies just created something explosive. And for some reason, Seattle was definitely a landmark moment for that energy. And finally, there is the whole element of, you know, feeling that you were still in a small gang running through the big hall corridors, the, you know, flipping the bird to the establishment, even though you were in the same spaces that the establishment were playing and had been in for years. So all of that energy just combined to make, I think, Seattle a fulcrum point of Metallica history for sure. It's all about the energy, baby.
And we're going to close out with Jason Wood on Spotify, who says he'd want to see the very first gig opening for the Mighty Saxon. Were you at that show?
No, was I at that show? I'm not that old. Actually, I am that
old. You are that old.
I wasn't. Deary me. I'm trying to skate on the youth. No, I was that old. No, I was still in England at that point.
Oh, you were in
England. But I had at that point seen Saxon at least five times. By 1982, I had seen Saxon at least five times. So it's very, very clear to me that aside from wanting to see the Mighty Metallica's first ever gig, Jason also wanted to fill his head with heavy metal thunder.
There it is. All right. I know folks are wanting to hear about your time in Berkeley last night. So how was it? Give me the overview.
Yeah, I think what really struck me first of all, and I should also note that our producer Christian was with me. We were working as a dynamic duo last night in your absence, I will say, and sorely missed that you were because you would love it.
I know, I would have.
Yeah, that you would have because it's a huge family party jam. Yeah. There's real old school vibes when you go to an Infectious Grooves night. I mean, for everywhere. Even on the stage, there's all sorts of people wandering around on the stage during soundcheck. I don't know who half of them are. I'm not sure. You know, you'll hear Rob talk about it. The backdrop, Rob had to drop in and get some theatrical drapes.
That's so great.
To hang the back because he forgot the backdrop. And then I don't know if they forgot it. They just didn't bring it. And they had one of the giant infectious clown heads. I mean, it's an all hands to the pump operation.
So great.
I think what's astounding about Rob, and it continues to astound me after over two decades of seeing him in this band and longer, in the music business, he was the first one there. He welcomed Christian and I on stage. He was there before anyone. And I'm talking at like 4 p.m.
He's thinking, so great.
He was just standing there thinking it through and just plotting. You could see he takes it seriously. But my word, they do enjoy themselves and everyone is invited to be part of it. He touches on this in the interview. I was quite excited he did. He mentioned the word jazz. And I think one of the feelings I had watching the whole assembly of it was, this is kind of how I imagine the jazz scene is, or certainly was, with all this free-flowing creative energy like going everywhere and all over the place between all sorts of amazing musicians. That band is made up of incredible musicians, right? I mean, let's not beat around the bush. You know, Jay Weinberg, amazing. Dean Pleasance, Dave Kushner, and of course, you know, Mike Muir. I mean, what a compliment of musicians to work with for Rob. He loves it. They bring their love and their joint joy of being able to have this family time together, because that's what it feels like. That was the overriding feeling. And there's so much to say. I always have lots to say, probably more than I should. And the great thing is today that we've got this great chat that I had with Rob. So I want to leave Rob to give you the rest.
That sounds like a good plan. So we're going to take a quick break and then we'll get into it with Rob.
This final show of this Infectious Grooves run.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Eight shows deep.
You're just, so you're really in the swing of it right now, yeah?
Yeah, you know, I felt like on that last show in Sydney, we found our stride and then we took off. We went on break for like 2 weeks and this is kind of the extension of that. But it happens, you know, I forgot what that's like because usually with Metallica, you know, we're out obviously longer and we're hitting the stride for a longer amount of time. So anyway, that's kind of what happened. But it felt good just now at soundcheck.
But what's really interesting to me is, and just even watching the soundcheck and watching how things go, it feels to me like this is very much sort of a lifeblood for you in terms of vibe and atmosphere. Because this really feels like a timeless kind of like gathering of several tribes in one space. And it feels like that really piques your energy. I mean, you were in here before anyone. I mean, you welcomed me and Christian into the building.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to see what the stage setup was going to be like because myself and my good friend Rob Lucas, we had to whip something up together because we found out that there was no digital wall here. And then we realized Infectious Grooves doesn't have a backdrop. So we went to a theatrical draping company down in Los Angeles in North Hollywood, found a nice color combination of drapes that were 20 foot by, you know, I don't know, 20 by 20 or whatever.
Rob Trujillo, drapes expert.
There you go, man. And we put something together and used one of the massive clown heads. It's kind of fun when you have to MacGyver things. You know, you got to kind of take what you got and make it work and get creative on your own with the stage production. And it's fun. It's part of the adventure.
Even there, I mean, you're talking to me on the stage about how, you know, you've got a guy on a step ladder, and everyone listening should know this, putting a light specifically to hit a tooth.
On that
head, a gold tooth.
Yeah, we get into the gold teeth and all that fun stuff.
Yes, detail. You know?
It's detail, man.
So that's what I'm saying. I think
stuff that no one else will notice or really care about. But it's like,
and that's what I'm asking. It seems like, you know, you say it's fun to MacGyver stuff. I mean, you know, this is, you know, you are the musician's musician in that sense. Like, you enjoy the hubbub of like the gathering of the tribes and so on, and these little things. It gives you a little boost, right? To be,
yeah, but
because you don't do this with Metallica. You know, you're not out there talking.
Well,
we got
guys getting paid good money to do that, so we don't have to. But what's cool about this is you know, I'm also fans of, just like I am of Lars, James, and Kirk. I'm fans of the guys on stage with me. Some of them are my best friends, but also my favorite musicians. But it's kind of like, it's weird. I'm in this bubble where, of course, these songs I wrote pretty much all of them with Mike many, many years ago, but I'm also a fan of what I'm hearing. So it's beyond just kind of like I'm playing in this band at the moment and we're having a good time. It's kind of like, oh my God, he just played something really cool. Or, you know, there's a lot of spontaneity in the music. So there's fresh moments that sneak up on you and kind of say hello during the show. And that's always exciting when you can get that still at this point in your life through music. It's funny because when I got back from Australia, I felt like I was in a jazz band. It's like I just, you know what I mean?
It's funny. And yeah, Christian, our producer, is sitting here with us. I said to Christian, even during the sound check, it felt like I was in a jazz club.
Right.
Watching. So go with that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a no, it's all good. We just was having fun. Love you. But it's like, yeah, it's kind of like that, you know? There's something that has a sort of there's a blueprint to the music, and there's things that happen within the music. So in that sense, there's some improv. A couple of the songs, you know, I have some freedom there. But it's a delicate balance because I don't want to overplay, or I don't want to underplay, or I got, you know, there's got to be some melody in there on my part as a bass player. But then there's other songs where the parts are, you know, just like any other band, you know, you got to play the parts right, and there's a riff, and it's just back in the day. Got to understand there were no rules, and when we started writing this stuff in 1990, it was just this odd, crazy recipe where we incorporated everything from, you know, ska and punk, Slayer elements, you know, some speed, but at the same time, a lot of sort of James Brown and Parliament Funkadelic, a band called Cameo. You know, stuff like that. So
these all unleash that they unleash your energy. I can see it. I mean, it seems, yeah. I mean, after eight shows of,
we even went through a Leonard, we even went through a Skinnerd phase, yeah. and where our guitar player Adam Siegel, he was going through that phase, and he and I started writing some funky jams around that concept, which would have been interesting. And it was just, you know, a lot of fun. And since then, Adam and I have reconnected and actually put together a song recently that's really fun. Adam will not play live, though. He won't do any shows. I don't know why. He just says he hasn't played standing up in 15 years, and he's not ready to do that ever again, but that's okay. we love him. He was a graffiti artist, and he designed all our characters on the album covers.
In fairness, maybe all those years of standing up doing graffiti art, maybe
all that paint he sniffed, right?
He's like, I'm going to sit down, I'll write the songs, man. Help write songs. But so everything that we're doing, everything in this soup,
yeah.
Let's get back to the core of it, the bass.
Yeah, so the bass, Infectious Grooves, you know, being a fan of
Black Sabbath, you know, of course, Geezer Butler, you know, Geddy Lee, but then also Jaco Pastorius and Stanley Clark. And then all of the music that where the bass was prominent in a lot of the dance and funk music. I just thought it'd be cool to come up with this crazy no rules recipe where we would incorporate hardcore and punk and speed metal into the soup. But it had to start with the bass. And the guitar style in this is interesting because there's a lot of chicken picking and a lot of funk chords that are more sort of related to, again, James Brown and that kind of a style. But at the same time, you know, the riff is important. I've always felt that a riff should be grooving as hard as it can. You know, listen to anything by Slayer, any sort of halftime break, absolutely, and it's just super funky. You listen to Disposable Heroes by Metallica, and you listen to that pulsating kind of halftime groove there, you know? Those are the ingredients that I like in heavy music. I always feel, and I don't know if people notice this, but I think that is something that they feel in the heavy music too, where it gets your head going and the headbanging starts and everything. Well, that to me, that's groove, and groove to me is funky. That's the core to what this band is and where we're coming from. And it's different than, you know, there are a lot of great groups that do this. I mean, most of these guys are my friends. I love Primus, of course, Mr. Bungle, and Fishbone is the king of everything that has to do with this. But we all came up at the same time, but we all had a different recipe. Of course, the Chili Peppers, and again, we're all friends. And there's mutual respect, but the bass is important to these bands, you know?
So this soup metaphor, uh-huh. I love a good metaphor, right?
That's right.
I love all this stuff, right? So the soup metaphor really is, you personally, when I look, it's really got some resonance, but I want to see if you agree. It feels to me like this is a soup that you need for your personal nourishment. You need to drink or eat or whatever this soup every so often, and that if you don't, it maybe you don't feel quite as balanced as a human being or a musician, maybe your best work across the board comes when you have a chance to enjoy this soup. Is that what these 8 shows have been about?
Well, they, you know, it's kind of crazy because that, you know, obviously we've been touring really hard with Metallica. We also were in the studio making 72 Seasons, writing that album, and then before that you had the, but things have a time and a place and a reason and a purpose. And I feel that this was the time that Infectious needed to sort of poke its head up again. Because honest to God, we've done 33 shows in 30 years. I mean, and two of them were revolved around, I think, Metallica. That was Orion Festival. And we did a show or two around that. So it's been about 4 shows in 30 years.
So you're craving
this. So this tour that we did, the 8 shows we did, was the most shows we've did since 1996 or 95.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Are you feeling fortified?
Oh, yeah. I feel great. I feel creatively excited about, like sometimes when you don't know the future or something, but you know that the flame has been lit, it's exciting to know that in the future, there could be more. It's not just the music, it's not just the performance, it's kind of the creative lifestyle and the madness that lives inside that every once in a while needs to come out, you know?
Yeah.
And there is a time that it's best for it to come out, and I guess this would have been that. And this is important, it happens naturally. Like, I don't force it, I can't just force myself to do these sorts of things. It's like, when it's right, it's right. And the cool thing about all this, it was right, not just for me, not just for Mike Muir, not just for the guys that are up there playing this. It was also right for Metallica. You know, we worked really hard between the album, the first year of the tour, getting into the second year and planning beyond that. You know, we worked hard. So, you know, this to me was earned, and it was the right time to do it. Really, like, I always try to make sure that I balance my universe. Sometimes I get a little carried away between family, making records, working with my friends, you know, because I have friends that I record with and I work with at home, you know, living down in SoCal, there's a lot of fun people to jam with and cool things. So there's been a lot of cool things going on in the last year. I thought to myself, you know, this year's been a good year. I don't know that it could be better for me in terms of what I've been able to do musically. And there's, you know, of course, there's always going to be things that maybe aren't so good that have nothing to do with music or any of that. And that's always going to be there. But it's nice to have the good things be really good and yeah. just great. And in fact, I have a lot of best friends here tonight. I got to tell you,
that's
I'm looking out on that stage. I'm seeing Mike Borden, you know, I'm seeing you, I'm seeing Dave, I'm seeing, fuck, man, it's just.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool, man. I get all my friends out here.
No, but that's great, and you can really feel that. I mean, it's the vibe in this room.
Yeah,
it's definitely about the fact that this is as much a gathering of the tribes.
I think it's the best. Yeah, I think it's the best place for us to kind of get that last show in of the year for this. Yeah, it just feels like it, like a party. Really, it does feel like a party tonight more than like, you know, we're playing a gig and it's a gig, but actually, it just feels different, you know. It feels like a celebration. After on Monday, it's all Metallica, you know, it's full steam ahead.
So it wouldn't be a chat between us if, number one, I didn't take it 5 minutes over the time that I said that I would, right?
Right.
We've done that, we've achieved that, but I have to throw a 6 cent question in there.
Sure.
I apologize in advance, but I'm still going to do it. You cover Fame.
Yes.
David Bowie. Do you have a couple of Metallica songs you could imagine covering in Infectious Grooves? I mean, Man Unkind sounds like it could be a vibe, but is there any song that would make sense in an Infectious fashion?
The only song, everyone's got their song, but, and this is interesting, it's funny because I've never thought about it, but now that I'm thinking about it, it would have to be the most psycho funkified version of a song like Dyer's Eve, you know? Yeah, but let's just stick with that. Maybe Freight Ends of Sanity.
Those are two.
That I could see. Now you got my brain spinning. See, that's what happens.
Got your brain spinning, yeah. But we'll enjoy this one more night of this Infectious Reawakening, I think it's wonderful. I love seeing you like super enthused by your old school vibe and the old school enthusiasm. I think it's super cool to see that.
Well,
and I think personally, I think Metallica benefits tenfold from it. Because I think you come out, I think in Munich, people are going to see not just a refreshed and revived, but just like a righteously joyous series of performances from you. I'm sure.
Well, it's fun. You know, all our friends are here. Mm-hmm. We got Castor Hetfield with Bastardane opening, and I love the fact that he's making great music and he's touring and he's making records. And Ty, you know, my son, is doing the same thing with Otto. And you know, Type A Houston, Miles and Lane are killing it.
Yeah.
That to me is really awesome. It just means that us as parents who don't force our kids to do stuff, but we encourage in subtle ways, you know, but we also believe in them. And to see that they're taking the bull by the horns and paving their own path is really, really exciting as well. So I'm excited about
that's awesome.
As well.
It's so great.
Stoked that they're playing. So again, you know, let's go have some fun, and then maybe we'll see what happens in the next go around.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And I will next see you in the back of your van in Munich as you do a runner.
All right, let's do it.
I'll see you then.
Can't wait.
Thanks, man.
Yes, indeed. That poor man is going to see me in the back of his van. I kind of threw that on him. Yeah, I mean, he climbs in there in his bathrobe, and there I am saying, so how'd it go? Like, so it's no joke. I mean, but again, I mean, we're talking about one of the most fluent and just accommodating people I think I've ever met. I have to tell you, Christian and I quickly went up to the dressing room after the show, and look, I don't think it's any secret. Most dressing rooms, 10 minutes, 30 minutes even after a gig are no-go zones. You know, you have have to wait because people are getting showers and they're calming down. I looked around the corner of their dressing room. The damn place was, it was packed. It was jamming with people. There were more, there were as many people in there as I'd seen, like, you know, on the floor almost. It was over, the whole place was packed. I mean, but it seemed like 1,500 people were in the dressing room, picked Rob out in the middle of it, and like, hey, and he's like, hey, man, you know, he makes some time. And I don't know, it was such a perfect end to the evening because, as you've just heard from Rob, Infectious Grooves Nights, they are all about the family hang vibe. And my final vision of leaving was the room heaving with people, and he was just smiling. What a great thing.
Well said, my friend. And I'm looking forward to seeing that version of Rob because, as he says, we're back to Talica in a few weeks from now in Munich. But that's it for this week. We are out of time. So,
see ya. The Metallica Report is produced by Metallica HQ, Pantheon Media, and PopCult.
If you like what we're doing here, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to visit Metallica.com/podcast to submit your questions, offer your thoughts, and become a part of this podcast.
Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.